Did you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. This episode of The Law Entrepreneur is sponsored by Market Circle, the makers of Daylight, and by Spotlight Branding, helping to build your internet foundation. I use Daylight as my case management tool. It organizes all my cases, clients, my calendar, to-dos, and emails all in one app that's with me on my Mac, iPhone, and iPad. I use Daylight on my own, but you can also use it in a team. You can use Daylight to track the status of cases, delegate tasks to each other, and see everyone's schedule, all without having to interrupt anyone. Daylight is one of the tools I use to stay organized and increase efficiency. Visit marketcircle.com/daylight to try Daylight for free for 30 days, and be sure to let them know you heard about Daylight through The Law Entrepreneur to get a 50% discount on your first monthly subscription. This episode is also brought to you by my friends at Spotlight Branding. I trust them to manage the internet presence for my law firm, and I recommend them to solo lawyers every chance I get. They built a great website for me, and they use video marketing, social media, email marketing, and more to keep me top of mind with my referral network. Visit spotlightbranding.com to learn more. They're even offering a free gift for podcast listeners, which you can access at spotlightbranding.com/TLE, as in The Law Entrepreneur. spotlightbranding.com/TLE, brought to you by our friends at Spotlight Branding. Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 57 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyron, your host. I come to you today with, mixed emotions here. Happiness for the episode that you're about to hear, but sadness to have to pass on to you some news that a friend of mine and mentor to many, Mark Miranda, passed away yesterday. So this is being recorded on the 13th of March. So yesterday evening or so, Mark left this world. If you've been a listener for a while, you've heard that name many, many times. He was a guest on the show on episode 31. I think I've probably quoted him in some fashion or another, on 31 episodes for sure. We've had people like Chris Berry on episode 2 and Victor Medina on episode 3 and 27 and Mark Metzger on episode 45 and Steve Riley on episode 48, who all were very closely associated with Mark. And it's through Mark that I met them and was able to forge enough of a relationship that they agreed to be on this podcast. So there's, just a one degree of separation there. Mark ran a company down in Naples, Florida called Smart Marketing. And I was a client of his for a long time. And he was just a great guy, just a funny guy, had lots of stories, had a story for everything. And he marketed through stories. And if you were around him long enough, you heard the stories over and over again. And they were a delight. And I would be lying to you if I didn't say that I've repeated many of them. Sometimes with attribution and sometimes without. But he will be missed. He loved his son, Max. And, it's just one of those things. But Godspeed, Mark. In any case, on with the podcast. Episode 57 today, I have Jan Roos as my guest. And Jan is really an interesting guy. He has written a book called The Legal Marketing Fast Lane. And Jan is an award-winning serial entrepreneur and founder of Expert Engines, using techniques developed while building national brands in the hyper-competitive consumer product space. His company has helped small and solo law firms in the most crowded markets in the U.S. generate hundreds of thousands in case billings every year, and primarily, almost exclusively, through a pay-per-click marketing channel, specifically Google AdWords. And a lot of our listeners have been clamoring for a show that addresses Google AdWords and other forms of digital marketing. And Jan is a great resource, and he has a very special offer to extend at the end of the show. So be sure to listen all the way through, and you'll get a lot of value out of this, I'm sure, and I'm confident to tell you that. So without any further delay, how about we chat with Jan Roos? Hey, Jan Roos, welcome to The Law Entrepreneur.
Hey, Dion, how's it going?
It's going great. I'm glad you could take the time to be with us today. Jan, tell our audience a little bit about yourself, how you came to be where you are today.
All right, awesome. So currently I'm running the legal marketing company Expert Engines. We do a very specific kind of lead generation that we're going to most certainly discuss ad nauseum in the upcoming podcast. But I actually got here through a pretty interesting path. So this is the third company that I've bootstrapped to profitability. And that's really how I started off. So I'm sort of describe myself as a serial entrepreneur, never taken outside investment. And basically the companies that I've started so far, I have made profitable by use of paid traffic. So among other methods, basically, I kind of started out more as a marketing generalist for the first company that I started, which was in the consumer product space, and tried a lot of different things out. We had two products, and one was in the CrossFit space, and the other one was in the outdoors and backpacking space. So one of the things, a couple of the takeaways that I took away from that experience was, one, different things work for different markets. We had channels that were doing really similar things that worked extremely well for some and not really well for others. So one of the things that I've always really believed strongly in is matching the right tool for the right job when it comes to marketing. The second thing that I learned from that is that a lot of marketing, at least when you're a small business, has to come and turn back into cash as soon as possible. There's some things that take a really long time to go out, and not to say that those don't work, but the reality of cash flow for most small businesses and a lot of the law firms that we work in fall into that category is that, you know, you have to make sure that there's money coming in when you spend it. Otherwise, you can't be out for that much long.
Yeah, that's certainly the case. So how did you come to then focus on law firm marketing?
Gotcha. So the kind of marketing that we're doing with paid traffic, at the beginning, I'll level with you, we're basically taking anyone and everyone we could find.
Sort of like a lot of startup law firms.
Oh, yeah. That's the grind. So some of the first clients we had happened to be personal injury firms here in New York City. So as we went on, we tried out different kinds of clients. The thing is, the results that we were getting for those personal injury firms, and eventually that, you know, that ended up broadening to most of the different consumer-facing aspects of law, we're getting really, really good results. And at the end of the day, when you're running a marketing company, you know, you have to have good results for the clients. It's really the best insurance for having retention. So just because they happen to be doing the best, we ended up retaining more of them. They would stay with us longer. Eventually, we made the focus towards trying to find those as new clients. And then over time, our portfolio of clients just ended up shifting to 100% law firms, which is where we are today.
Well, I got introduced to you when somebody recommended your book, The Legal Marketing Fast Lane, which I've read now cover to cover, and we'll talk about that some more. But when did you write the book, and what prompted its creation?
Gotcha. So the book is a fairly new release. I wrote the book for the most part at the end of last year, 2016.
Oh, so it is brand new.
Pretty much brand new, yeah. So, I mean, we basically, the whole publishing process was interesting. But we got the official launch happened just a few weeks ago. So basically, I ended up writing the book just because I saw a lot of misinformation going out there. The thing is that, you know, I'm a marketer right now. I understand that there's things that marketers do, and I'm not really, you know, the thing is that marketers are really good at putting out information that's very convincing. And a lot of people, I mean, I consider myself a specialist in this whole sort of PPC lead generation space. And a lot of marketers were like going out and they're trying to say that their form of marketing is superior for all people, which, you know, because of my experience with the startups that I had, I knew it wasn't the case. So the thing that's tough, especially for the legal space, is it's considered a very, very attractive client for most marketers in general. So basically, it's tough when you have all these people that are targeting you and then trying to make a good case for where things work when sometimes it isn't the case. So basically, the reason that I published this book was first to show a little bit about the situations in which the kind of marketing that we've been doing for clients for the last few years works, and also to give people like small law firms a toolbox for how they can evaluate other marketing channels. Because again, I don't really think that PPC lead generation is the best thing since sliced bread for everyone under the sun. I think for some circumstances, it works extremely well, but there's definitely merits for other channels. And I do like to give people the ability to make those decisions on their own.
You know, a good friend of mine and mentor once said that lawyers do make good clients for marketeers because they have more money than sense and have little understanding of how the process works. So if that's true, then it's a target-rich environment for you, I would think.
Oh, geez. Well, that's the thing. I mean, I don't think it's that they don't have very much sense. I think there's also some issues in kind of the culture as well. You hear this being said a lot, good lawyers don't market. And because of the stigma, it's not anyone's fault if you know you're just hearing this every single day and you think, oh, you know, I don't want to be a sleazy ambulance chaser, this or that. When in reality, you know, that's how most small businesses stop being small businesses. You know, they market and sell their way to the success.
Yeah, and at the same time, there's also the issue that a fair number of attorneys are not as digitally aware or computer savvy or internet savvy as other industries. And so it creates another roadblock to them taking advantage of these types of channels.
Yeah. And it's definitely tough, especially when you're balancing a caseload and all of the networking and promotion that you have to do when you're starting out a new firm. You know, it's tough to learn things in an environment where everything's constantly changing, like digital marketing.
So let's talk about that for a little bit. Let's talk about the different channels so that we can kind of orient our listeners a little bit in terms of what pay-per-click or PPC marketing is. So in terms of digital channels, what other options are there?
PPC, as we define it, it literally translates to pay-per-click. So there's a couple of networks that you can go ahead and do this on. The one that we use for our clients most is AdWords. I can go into that a little bit later. But other channels that are pretty common, I would say one is search engine optimization, SEO. That is similar to pay-per-click in the sense that it gets you to eventually show up on Google, different in the way that you get there. So with pay-per-click, you can buy an ad that will be on the front page of Google tomorrow, and you'll pay every single time somebody clicks on it. With SEO, typically you're investing into building a link profile and making your website domain look like something that Google would want to show to people. The difference between that and pay-per-click is that SEO you can kind of consider more as an asset. It's something that you build up over time. Most of the top SEOs, and we do a lot of work alongside them, can't really guarantee results on the first page of Google in a time frame of less than 6 months if you're in a relatively competitive market, which most lawyers, I would say, are. The benefit is that once you're ranked, it's something that you're there. So I kind of like to consider SEO versus paid advertising as, you know, renting a billboard versus building a building. Another one is pretty common is content marketing. So this would, you know, include publishing articles, that kind of stuff. So the idea is that when you have your content out there and you publish it, this actually does feed into SEO in some place. So let's say that you wrote an article on some, you know, esoteric aspect of appeals law, and you happen to be the only person who had written something on it. if somebody was Googling that particular thing, you'd show up, they'd be on your site. In theory, you can get them onto your free consultation or to reach out to you through that. The thing I like about content marketing is it works really well. The more, in my opinion, the more esoteric branches of law. So trust and estates is very interesting. Different aspects of elder law. Criminal appeals. We've seen some clients do extremely well with that. If you're trying to write something on, what to do after a car crash, good luck getting on top of Google with that because people have thought about it before, unfortunately. Another time, social media is pretty interesting as well. So I think social media works really well if you're already doing content marketing. If you're kind of trying to establish thought leadership, it's a good place. I think this is another one that works in those esoteric branches of law. I think it works pretty well with business law, especially on platforms like LinkedIn. Let me think about what else. Yeah, those are pretty much the main ones that we see clients doing.
And as I see it, talking to some of the folks in this marketing space, both SEO and search engine optimization and content marketing are about getting the search engine, Google, to recognize your law firm's website as being relevant to the search that the user enters. Whereas pay-per-click, you're actually paying to be shown to everybody who puts this specific keyword term in their search. Is that a fair characterization?
Exactly. So yeah, SEO it's basically at the end of the day, when we think about what Google wants, they want to show results to people that are relevant. So the whole practice of SEO is going in and making sure those factors match up with that, in addition to providing content that is actually good. But yeah, pay-per-click, the difference there is, as you know, the thing is not to paint Google as a completely mercenary organization, but they really wouldn't mind if you were, sending an ad to a picture of your dog, as long as they're getting paid for the actual click that people are going to make.
Yeah, and the story you hear most often from attorneys who have ventured into the SEO space, or even many times the pay-per-click space, is that they've tried it. It hasn't worked as well for them as they wanted it to, so they poured more money into it. It didn't work any better. It just cost more, and they finally abandoned it. Is that a hurdle that you have to get over?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a really, really common story. And going to why I think this happens a lot, it's because Google really tries to paint this story of it being a self-service platform. So actually, this is kind of funny. This kind of goes back into the joke I made just now about having a picture pointing to, or having a pay-per-click ad point to a picture of your dog. With basically Google, at the end of the day, they're going to get paid whether your client converts or not. So they basically get paid on the click. You get paid when people call you and schedule a consultation and eventually get retained as a client. So more often than not, there's a lot of gains that can be made by focusing on the post-click experience. So where you see it, so basically it's kind of like having, when you multiply anything by zero, it's going to be zero. So if you have a $10,000 ad budget and you're directing it towards a picture of your dog, it doesn't really matter whether it's $500 or $500,000. No one's going to click when something's that bad. Ridiculous example, but in reality, most law firms aren't too far from that, especially doing things like directing to a homepage. It's really tough. No one really thinks it's super relevant if they're typing in how to get like a O-1 visa and you're going to a general immigration page that has a million different things on it and a rotating banner and it doesn't really look anything specific.
Yeah, let's dive in there just a little bit because I thought that was a really significant observation that you made in your book. And so just to backtrack a little bit, so attorney starts a pay-per-click campaign and establishes their keywords and what have you, and the searcher, the user, puts in a search term, and they see a relevant ad on the Google results page that looks promising, and they click on it. So now Google's fulfilled their promise. They've clicked on the ad, so now Google charges you for that click. But where you go from there is very important. And what you're, I think the observation you made in your book and then you made real quick there is that by and large, lots of attorneys are sending the person who clicks on their Google ad to their website's homepage. And that isn't answering the question that the searcher was looking for.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. The real undercurrent to making your pay-per-click campaigns profitable, making sure that Google is happy because they're getting this and having the searcher have a good experience, is this whole concept of relevance. So the more relevance that you can have in your ads, which is done by meticulously creating a good pay-per-click campaign and making sure that people go to specific pages as opposed to a homepage, is really sort of the secret sauce to making stuff like this work. And it's not something that people will generally stumble into overnight. I mean, look, it took me years to figure out how this worked out before I started doing it for others. So if somebody's going to be running a Google ad budget for a month and they're not getting results from it, it's very, very unlikely that somebody's going to stumble into how to do that.
And I think that's where they stumble the most, is because they've got their website. They've already paid for their website to be done. Now they start their Google AdWords and they're doing it on a DIY, basis. They're designing their own campaign and they're directing the people who click on their Google ads to the website they've already paid for and got developed. And as you point out in the book, you really need a specific landing page that is relevant to the search terms to continue that post-click experience.
Yeah, absolutely. And you actually hit something really well too, because it's kind of the whole belief, and this is sort of something that's been a little bit mistakenly promoted in the web design industry in general. It's like the kind of concept that the website is what you need to get people going. So the thing is, a lot of times, and there's nothing wrong with investing in a good website, but when you kind of assume that the website's going to do all the work for you, that's when you can get in trouble.
This episode of The Law Entrepreneur is sponsored by Market Circle, the makers of Daylight. As I mentioned, I use Daylight as my case management tool, as it organizes all my cases, clients, my calendar, to-dos, emails, all in one app. And it's with me everywhere because it's on my Mac, my iPhone, and my iPad. If I get a call from a client when I'm out of the office, I can quickly pull up the details of the case on my iPhone and then jot down some notes after the call, and it's all organized in Daylight. I use Daylight by myself on my own, but you can also use it in a team. You can track the status of cases, delegate tasks between one another, and check everyone's calendars, all without having to interrupt anyone or dig through papers. It really streams your workflow so you can work more efficiently. Managing email is a big part of how Daylight helps me. It integrates with Apple Mail, so as I'm going through my emails, I can just click and save emails to a client or to a case. That way, when I'm looking at the case details, I can see a history of all the emails with the client or any notes that I've taken and follow-ups with them all in one spot. So visit marketcircle.com/daylight to try Daylight free for 30 days. And be sure to let them know you heard about Daylight through The Law Entrepreneur to get a 50% discount on your first monthly subscription. In addition, I want to tell you about my friends at Spotlight Branding. I trust them to manage the internet presence for my law firm, and I recommend them to solo lawyers every chance I get. They build a great website for me, and they use video marketing, social media, email marketing, and more to keep me top of mind with my referral network. And this helps me generate more referrals and more business for my firm. Their services are designed to help lawyers get better results out of the resources they're already investing into marketing and business development. They create an internet foundation that makes all of your marketing work better. That's because these days, almost every potential client is going to check out your web presence before they hire you. It's important that you create a strong first impression. And that's what Spotlight Branding has done for me, and they can do it for you too. So visit spotlightbranding.com to learn more. They're even offering a free gift for our podcast listeners, which you can access at spotlightbranding.com/TLE. So let's talk then about, just in general terms, pay-per-click. What are its strengths and advantages?
So I would say far and away, the biggest advantage to pay-per-click is the speed at which you can potentially get results. So any of the channels that we were speaking about earlier, content marketing, SEO, social media, they kind of follow a sort of a flywheel kind of approach. Like you start out, it's really slow. You might not get results for a while, but once it's off to the races, you're good to go. You know, unfortunately, it sometimes takes 6 months, year, sometimes more than that to get these things off to the races. But with pay-per-click, you can literally have a campaign and Google will sell you a click on the front page of whatever search term you want for, you know, the price that's going to be determined by the click. So that's so the benefit is you can get these things going very, very quickly. Now, the thing is, if you can actually figure out what the formula is to getting people to convert with having a specific page, going through these relevance principles, and you know that there's something that's possible for being work, the leads will come in very quickly. So typically when we onboard clients, we have leads coming in within the first 72 hours of the campaign going live. The thing is, it's a little tough to suss through that sometimes. When Google works with people, they'll encourage people to keep campaigns going for 3 months or more, which I think is ridiculous. I mean, the thing is, if you're working through all these different permutations of what you could possibly have for the pages, yeah, that's maybe something that you can do. But when you have a formula and a recipe that's been proven to work, there's no reason that you shouldn't be able to put traffic in and get leads out. So that's basically the strength of pay-per-click when things are going right. The thing that's kind of tough is that for one, you do have to pay up front. So, well, not up front so much as it's typically Google works on a post-pay billing threshold. So it'll start coming in usually about a couple weeks after you start going, but you have to make sure that you can pay. So it can be tough for some types of firms, personal injury, you know, those cases usually take a pretty long time to settle. But basically, you need to make sure that you have cash flow for doing that. The other thing is that you need to make sure that your unit costs make sense. So this is a term that you'll see a lot if you're a fan of Shark Tank. I mean, typically the whole thing is, okay, what's your cost of goods sold? What's your total lifetime value? So you can kind of do this napkin math with the amount of cost per click and if you know how much you're going to be able to convert. So I'll give you an example. So typically, with clients that we work with, we shoot for at least a 10% conversion rate. So if we're dealing with an ad group that has a $5 cost per click, then we expect a cost per lead of around $50. So if we know that the client's going to be getting one client, you know, they'll be able to convert one in five leads, we'll take, you know, five times 50 is $250. That's your cost per client. Now, if this is going to be, you know, doing a guardianship case that's going to be a $5,000 retainer, that's great money. If you're doing a traffic ticket case and you're charging, you know, $199, you're underwater. But if you can make the unit costs work out, there's basically the sky's the limit to how much you can scale these campaigns.
And so, if I'm the attorney who's now contemplating going into the PPC game, what do I look at in terms of my investment costs? Am I looking at What can I afford to spend on a per day basis? Or am I looking at an overall monthly budget? How should I be budgeting?
Gotcha. Interesting question. So there's basically the way that, so I always look at things from a monthly basis. That's just how we happen to run our service. But Google does everything from a daily budget perspective. So let's say that you wanted to have a budget of $1,000 per month. Google would basically said, so the way that you would go ahead and set that up in Google AdWords is you would do $33.33 per day. So Google would basically, it's not like, you know, that this is all designed so people don't end up spending $1,000 on their first day and then they have nothing for the rest of the month. So it's basically that number. You're going to get plus or minus 10% for having a little wiggle room when there's high traffic days. But basically you set that budget that goes to the day and then you'll spend that much per day moving forward. So as to how much I recommend people starting with, it's basically a question of statistical significance. So in my opinion, the worst thing that you can do when trying out any marketing channel, PPC included, is you invest some amount of money, but you don't really have enough that you can really give it you can't really give it the opinion that, okay, we really gave this all we could. And we can conclusively say that this did or didn't work. So the worst thing you can do is spend enough that's, you know, you're losing money, but you're not necessarily knowing whether it was a good channel or not. So for most branches of law, I recommend spending at least $1,000 total. So this could be over a month, this could be over 2 months. But I would say you need to get at least $1,000 in before you know whether it's going to be a channel that works or not. The only exception to this would be personal injury law. The reason for that is the cost per clicks are just much, much higher. The cost per clicks are set on an auction model, and there's just a lot of firms that make a lot of money for these cases, so they're able to profitably invest. So, I mean, typically we're seeing cost per clicks for personal injury around, you know, they can go as high as $100, $150. Most of our clients are somewhere in the $30, $40 range. But yeah, it adds up quickly, and you need to have enough budget total to get that statistical significance.
So can you give us just, we're not holding you to this because this isn't your platform, but so personal injury are more expensive than, say, divorce lawyers. Divorce lawyers are less expensive than criminal attorneys. Is there a hierarchy there?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, basically, okay, so just to back up a little bit, it's all determined on an auction basis.
And what does that mean?
So basically, I could get into the super technical definition, but in a nutshell, the more people are bidding for a keyword and the higher they're willing to bid, the higher the keyword is going to be. So Google doesn't set like a giant stock exchange where it's like, all right, so personal injury in New York today is going to be $38. Basically, the way it's determined is if you have a competitor that's bidding, So let's say that you're willing. So you set your maximum bid. It's kind of like a silent auction. So let's say that you're willing to bid $25 of the keyword personal injury lawyer in New York. You have one other competitor, just to make it simple. He's willing to bid $20. So when you get that click, your ad's going to show at the top on top of his. If you get that click, you're going to get charged $20.01. So that's the minimum it is to raise the auction. Now, if that guy ends up raising his bid to $30, then he's going to show on top. You're still only going to pay $25 if you get the click. But if he gets a click, he's going to pay $25.01.
Yeah. Okay.
So, and the thing is, it's just over time. The platform's been going for about 15 years at this point. So the prices are more or less stabilized, but there's not a ton of unexploited markets. Like it operates more or less in line with areas where you can make more money tend to have higher clicks. So personal injury, that's usually going to be at least, we're talking about $25, $50 per click. We have some ways that we can get them a bit lower, but that's, we can go into it later. Most other branches of law, we're usually seeing in between $10 and $20. So I'd say, $15 is probably a good happy medium for most stuff. Divorce, trust and estate stuff. We see, actually, trust and estates usually isn't so bad. We're probably paying in the $8 to $12 range for that. The big outlier that we've seen, immigration law, very, very inexpensive. But again, that's usually because there's less money to be made. I mean, like most, you can make hundreds of thousands of dollars on a successful personal injury case. There's people who do green cards for $800.
No, so that might change though.
We'll see
what's going on.
It's gonna be an interesting year.
You might find immigration law zooming past personal injury. Who knows?
Yeah.
No political commentary there, Neil. No. So I want to talk about the book for a second, and leading into this next question. A lot of folks write books these days. Some are more in depth than others. I was really very pleasantly surprised by, one, your writing style. It's just very entertaining and very easy to read. So if any of our listeners are leery of picking up the book because they don't really understand the language, Jan writes in a way that is very easy to understand. And there's a lot of content in your book. I mean, it's 170 pages or so.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of content. This is not just a glorified business card. So one of the more interesting chapters I thought in there was your discussion of doing it yourself, rolling your own as it were, or outsourcing to an agency. Talk about that for a moment.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, this is kind of a question that, you see with any small business has to make. The fact of the matter is I wouldn't have been in the position where I was running this agency if I decided to hire my entire time. So, I mean, basically, I got here because I decided to do it myself and eventually stuck with it. But basically, every small business has the trajectory of what's the balance between the amount of time that a founder has and the amount of money that they have to spend. So, you know, when you start out, you're basically 100% time. You're out there, you're hustling, you're getting your business cards out. And then, you know, eventually you start retaining some clients, you have a little cash in the bank. If you get to the point where, you know, you're having 100% of your hours of the week are going to be billable, you're going to have more time than money. You're going to have more money than time. But again, so it all kind of depends on where you're at in the system. So the thing is, I tried to write the book in such a way that somebody who had more money than time would be able to take it. I showed a lot of steps on how to actually set these things up because I really, you know, I wasn't trying to make this like a puff piece. I really wanted to have something valuable that people would be able to take advantage of and implement themselves. So if you're in that position where you have more time than money, by all means, go ahead and try to do it yourself. If you have the position where you have more money than time, in my opinion, it's a good idea to look to somebody to help you out. The reason why is because you're going to be spending money already on a campaign like this. So, and this is the same way that I approach new marketing channels in my business. So basically, you know, you're going to be spending this money. At the end of the day, I think the worst, yeah, like I said, the worst situation you can have is, did this not work because we didn't try enough or we didn't spend enough? So if you want to know whether this channel is going to be profitable for you and you want to leave all doubt or any channel for that matter, it's good to go with expertise because it leaves the question of did you implement correctly out of it. So if you have somebody who has a proven track record with something like what you're trying to do, you know, it's better to, sometimes it's even less expensive to try to figure things out on your own rather than, you know, plug into something that already works and then see what the results are from there. But again, sometimes that's not an option for everybody. So if you have to go with investing your own time rather than investing in someone, that's also something you can totally do. But given the choice, I would usually recommend going with an expert.
And I think because you've included so much detail, and by detail, I mean literally screenshots, step by step, you know, check this box, select this pull down option. It's really very illustrative of the process that one has to go through to set up a campaign and a pay per click marketing campaign. And so if one were to go through all of this and at the same time hire an outside agency, you'd have a much better understanding of what your agency is doing for you. You'd be able to interact and work with them in a much more synergistic way than if you just, you know, gave them the check and hoped for the best results.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's actually brings up another point. So, I mean, the thing about pay-per-click in particular is, like, you know, in the same way that Google makes it look easier to end users, they make it look easier to agencies. And, you know, they spend probably the better part of the aughts trying to get every single web designer in the block to offer Google for their clients. And it's really sad sometimes to see, because I get pulled into some of these accounts to go audit them when I'm meeting with prospective clients. And sometimes there's agencies that are just totally asleep at the wheel. And, you know, the metaphor I always like to use is like a car mechanic. Sometimes you got something that's a bent rim and they tell you swap out your entire transmission. It's going to cost you $5,000. But, you know, if you knew a couple of things about how a car works, you don't need to necessarily know how to rebuild an engine from scratch. But if you know what you're working with, you're less likely to get in a situation where you get taken advantage of.
I think that's perfectly true in this case, because as I read through this, there's enough detail in there for me to understand what was going on. And it certainly would make my efforts to coordinate the development of a campaign with an agency much simpler and much more, I think, effective. So I think that's another useful aspect of the book. When it comes to using an agency to design a campaign for you, how is that relationship typically structured and contracted for?
Gotcha. So for the most part, working with agencies and pay-per-click is determined by, it's usually an ongoing engagement. So there's kind of the first setup part where you're setting up the campaign, you're building the landing pages, you know, you're writing the ad copy, all that stuff. So that's usually pretty heavy lifting, and a lot of people will charge a setup fee for that. But yeah, typically the arrangement really does have to be ongoing because there's a lot of different things that can happen on a day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month basis. So the way that, you know, I structure it here at my agency is when clients are onboarded, we're literally in the account every single day, and we have account managers that are communicating with the client at the end of every single day. As things stabilize, we go over to, you know, weekly reports and monthly reports. But the reality is, you know, we're in there doing client, you know, we're doing stuff for clients every single, like multiple times per week. So that's the kind of thing you need to have, you know, like the super, super high-tuned, highly performing campaigns. It's important to do that because AdWords and any paid traffic campaign for that matter, a lot of the times it's kind of like planting a garden. You can really have a good foundation, but you got to keep the weeds out there. Those are the unprofitable keywords. Those are when competitors enter your market and you have to adjust your bids. There's a lot of different things that go into keeping one of these things going. So that's typically how most agencies will bill. There's different things that people charge for different different stuff. So, I mean, the approach that we use is it's sort of an all-in-one. So we do happen to manage the creation of landing pages, split testing, all that stuff. Some agencies will do charges per landing page, per revision. Some, I mean, that's typically what you see for people who are more in the design space. But for the most part, you know, your service for an agency is going to be some percentage of the ad spend and a minimum. So the ones that I see, this is kind of a benchmark. I would say most agencies are in the ballpark of 15% of ad spend with a $500 minimum. That's usually what I've been seeing from competitors that we either work with or, you know, have looked into.
That's interesting. And it's, there's also a, one, an advantage here with PPC in that there's a lot of variables that you can tweak, that you can get feedback from based on analytic data that you're collecting over the course of time, and then tweak certain aspects of it and get a real-time response to the changes you're making, which is a capability that's not, you can't do that in social media marketing or content marketing. You don't have that granularity or that immediate feedback.
Yeah, and it's really interesting too, because like you have the ability to take these and you can make some really big changes overnight. Like I remember one time we had a client that was doing construction law here in the city. We had a huge Google display campaign going on, which I actually advocate against in the book, but we had already tapped out the search network, so we had to go there. Basically, we found out that there is a type of placement that was taking 80% of the budget and producing basically none of the results. So we turned off that placement and we, you know, immediately quadrupled the amount of leads that he was getting from display overnight, which was awesome. The thing is, basically, you have to be in the account pretty frequently to be able to take advantage of that. So this is kind of an ugly truth about a lot of agencies. You'll see them kind of just take over these accounts and they're in the account less than once per month. They're not really making any changes or actively managing it whatsoever. So, you know, you have to make sure that people are being diligent about that if you're going to be working with them.
I'm going to ask you to tell one little war story that literally made me laugh out loud, and that's the adoption law story.
Oh, wait, which one was that?
About your client who was running ahead.
I know which one. Okay, gotcha. No, this is great. So, I mean, this is always funny. So the thing is, you never really know what you're getting into.
It made me laugh out loud all by myself sitting reading the book.
Yeah. So this is great. So here's the thing. You know, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the face. When we set up campaigns, this is something that, you know, there's more detail in the book, but a very important thing is to do negative keywords. So by standard, we usually add things like hiring, salary, jobs, because, you know, you don't want somebody who's searching personal injury lawyer salary and then they click on your link and you get charged $50. That's no bueno. But so we kind of try to think through all these things in an intelligent way. So for estate lawyers, we use negative real if they don't want to do real estate, for example. So we had an adoption law client and they ended up, it's super good that we were on top of this, because basically we found out that a lot of the volume coming for adoption was for animal adoption. So we were seeing St. Bernard adoption, lizard adoption, turtle adoption, puppy, kitty, all this kind of stuff. It was crazy. And it's, you know, thank God we were able to catch this in the first day, because, you know, if we let this go for an entire month, like most of the PPC agencies that are, you know, a little less scrupulous do, they could have spent, you know, a good portion of their budget, which was $2,000 on, you know, people who are looking for pets.
So they would have been paying for clicks for people looking having a completely different search than they were intending to have.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing. So it's like, you know, that's a super important principle. And now, one, thankfully, we do have a little guide on how to do that within the book. So if you get started, you can avoid that mistake.
Well, it was terrific. As I said, I really enjoyed reading the book. I got a tremendous amount out of it. Why don't you share with our audience how they can reach you and maybe secure a copy of the book for themselves?
Yeah, absolutely. So if anyone wants to go ahead and get in touch with me, I can provide my email here on the podcast. It's jan@expertengines.co. Probably get that in the show notes. And we're actually doing a free plus shipping offer on the website for the book. So I'll get this extended to the listeners of the show. So it's gonna be legalmarketingfast.com/TLE for the law entrepreneur. So if you want to go there, it's gonna direct you to the cart page for the thing. So for the book. So basically, if you want to just add that, it's free plus shipping. I think the shipping is gonna be about $7, but we'll go ahead and ship you a hard copy of the book. Alternately, if you're interested, you can go through Amazon as well. It's a bit more expensive on there, but I would recommend. So if you want to save some money on the hard copy, I would definitely recommend going through that link.
Well, that's a tremendous offer, Jan, and I appreciate it on behalf of our listeners. And I want to plug it because I read it cover to cover, and I think it's one of the better things I've read in terms of, you know, digital marketing. So congratulations. I hope you have great success with it. I hope our listeners take advantage of that offer. You're very generous to do so. It's well worth, the $7 to $8, believe me. Jan, I'd love to have you back on the show at a later point in time if you're interested. But I do thank you for your time today and appreciate you being on The Law Entrepreneur.
Oh, that would be fantastic. You know, I'd love to do that. So yeah, no, thank you so much for having me.
Once again, I'd like to thank our friends at Market Circle, the makers of Daylight and Spotlight Branding, for being sponsors of today's podcast. Market Circles, as the makers of Daylight, provide the tool that I use to manage my cases, my clients, my calendar, my to-dos, the emails, and they do so all in one app that stays with me on my Mac, my iPhone, and my iPad. I use Daylight on my own in a solo environment, but you can also use it in a team. You can use Daylight to track the status of cases and delegate tasks to one another on your team, and you can see everyone's schedule all without having to interrupt anyone. Daylight is one of the tools that I use to stay organized, and it increases my efficiency, and therefore it only stands to reason that it'll do the same for you and your team if you use it in a broader environment. So visit marketcircle.com/daylight to try Daylight free for 30 days. And be sure to let them know that you heard about Daylight through The Law Entrepreneur in order to get a 50% discount on your first monthly subscription. Also, our friends at Spotlight Branding, as always, have been very helpful in sponsoring this podcast. You know, I trust them to manage the internet presence for my law firm, and I recommend them to solo lawyers every chance I get. They built a great website for me, and they use video marketing, social media, email marketing, and more to help keep me top of mind with my referral network. So visit www.spotlightbranding.com to learn more. They're even offering a free gift for podcast listeners, which you can access at spotlightbranding.com/TLE, as in The Law Entrepreneur. So spotlightbranding.com/TLE to access your free gift. And as always, make sure that you visit our website, www.thelawentrepreneur.com, to see everything that's going on with the podcast and subscribe to our newsletter so that you can stay in the know and be the first on your block, so to speak, to gain insight into what's going on here. So once again, thanks for being here this time around. I appreciate your listenership. Hope to see you again next week on The Law Entrepreneur.